All right, so it is still Five Extra. This is the Youth Month edition broadcasting from UCT Radio. It's Tom and Minta in the studio.
And we've got a really interesting interview. We were talking a little bit about it earlier.
Yes.
And kind of speaking to the first student of Africa.
The first student of Africa. That line
it's
really
so powerful.
Hit me. So powerful. So we're sitting in the studio with Hlengiwe Guguletu Lisa Dube, the student representative president of UCT. How are you?
Thank you. How are you?
Great, thank you. Can I please just talk about the governments? The full government name when you step into a room.
Yes.
So powerful.
Thank you. I'm into that. It's a story, actually.
Please tell us that story.
Right. Well, in the context of my name, Hlengiwe means nurse of God.
Okay.
And then Guguletu means pride or treasure of God. And then Lisa means oath of God. So it's like a whole flowing story going on there.
That is so beautiful.
Thank you.
And
thank
it
you,
actually means so much to me to hear you like really use your government name and power like that, because I'm Thomas knows a story a little bit about me and my ifs with my full name and how it's been butchered completely throughout high school. So
and
yeah,
somebody would just find a nickname for your name.
So my nickname was always Mta, and I just chose it and I didn't think anything of it until I got to high school, and Mtawelanga Agbiriogo was just too much for people to handle. Yeah, and it would get butchered all over the place to the point where I'd stand up, I'd hear some random name in the assembly, and I'd be like, okay, that's me.
That's
I don't even know what it is. I'm like, okay.
That's funny.
So it's really, so we want to talk about you and just like what leadership means to you. I think having you in studio is just a beautiful way for us to understand, like, you are a symbol of leadership here, first student of Africa.
Yeah, especially in Youth Month. I mean, have you felt that as SRC president, there's kind of been a big responsibility in terms of many students, not just in UCT but in Africa, in terms of who you're representing?
Well, not specifically this month. I mean, it's been exam season, so
everybody
really focus on that. But if you're talking very like in a very general context, then of course, because we all know that our skin color tells a story on its own, you know. So definitely having that expectation of you don't just represent yourself and your own values and the way you think what leadership is, but you have to stand on this podium and represent every black student or black woman student, and then it just keeps going on because it's just different, you know, groups of individuals that you have to represent. And then on top of that, being as well like very bold, outspoken Christian, because I confess my faith, I love God, and it's a thing of, okay, are you going to be this radical Christian that just says whatever, or are you actually going to represent also those morals and values of how somebody that believes and trusts in God, how they also think? So it's definitely, I wouldn't say pressure, it's more exciting, it's more, it's more like a challenge. I like being challenged, I don't know why, but it's a very it's a very beautiful experience, definitely awakening as well. But I do also understand the pressure part of it, being okay, now I know that somebody else is listening to me, I know that somebody else is probably looking up to me, what does that mean? Because I remember being stopped at, you know, Tugwell, and I was speaking, no I'm lying, Baxter actually, and I was speaking to the warden, and one of the girls came up to me and she's like, I just want to tell you something, like I'm really proud of you, and I'm like, and I don't know who she is, and she's one of the first years, and she's like, you're so inspirational, and I was like, I needed to hear that, especially today, you know. So it's definitely beautiful.
And I guess it's those moments in amongst like a big job and a big portfolio of the things that you're going to do, it's those little moments where it's like someone, the stuff that you're doing and all the hardship that you have to
you're listening to Five Extra Youth Month edition. It's Nta and Thomas for UCT Radio.
Being SRC president, I don't imagine to be a particularly easy job, you know, and not necessarily the most rewarding job. But when you have moments like that where it's like the stuff that you're doing is actually making an impact on someone, I guess it feels kind of all worth it.
No, definitely, definitely. And like I said, because you have different moments. It's never just the same. It's never just, like, I remember the first, I think, 3 months we were just in crisis mode, you know, and you always have to think on your feet and what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, and everybody's looking at you, and you're facing the UCT management, you're facing your team, and then you're facing, like, X amount of students at UCT. So it was definitely like, oh my goodness, like, is it just, it just keeps doing this? And then sometimes it just keeps doing this. It's different
when
every time.
Can I just, can we just talk a little bit about where your journey began in terms of you wanting to be in the position you are, wanting to be a leader, and maybe where you're from, how that journey began, and also who your role models were? who the people you were like looking up to the same way your first year is looking up to you now?
Thank you. So I'll definitely start with the role model question. My role model is Jesus. Aww. And that's different. So I don't necessarily have any like, is it like a human body, home body, whatever it's called, super like, you know, role model out there. Definitely Jesus, just how he led, how he spoke, how he just used parables to describe a situation so that it was fit for whoever was listening, you know, so it made sense to whoever was listening. So definitely Jesus is my role model. But if we were to mention someone, I would definitely say my mom, my older sister, my dad. Like they're just super humans. Like I just don't understand. And my sister's just a year older than me, guys. Like it's crazy.
Oh, it's your twin.
Literally. Aww. And then how my journey started, I actually did not know what SRC was. I never heard about SRC. I actually never heard about student leadership in my first or my second year. Okay. Like it was always just about continuing my purpose, however that looked like, whenever it looked like, in whatever season. It was always, okay, this is where probably God placed you. How are you going to touch a life? How are you going to change a life in that position that you're in? Or, and by position, I don't necessarily mean by title. I just mean like in life, where are you positioned? Because I remember I started off as a class rep here for anthropology and social development, and then that led to being a head mentor at Grasha, then that led to just all these different things, and every single time it was, okay, how are you going to touch a life? How are you going to use your tongue, the power of your tongue, to spread love? Because that's your purpose. You are placed on this earth to love. You are placed on this earth to influence a mindset, not in a bad way, but in a way that can guide them to know what life is, what love is, you know. Because apparently nowadays love, unfortunately, is a bit subjective, and that's just because how we grew up. People grew up knowing love differently. So how are you now going to spread love in a way that people understand, and that's the right way? Because love is unconditional, you know. So that's just how it started. It was never about, okay, I want to be a mandala, you know. And it never was. It was all just about purpose until last year, and then I found out what student
leadership is. I love how much you speak about purpose, and I want us to really hone in on that in the right after the break. But thank you so much for that. We'll speak more about purpose, and I think it's something that a lot of students can relate to and young people can relate to. So more on that after this. This is UCT Radio for 5 Extra. All right, this is the 5 Extra Youth Month edition. We're still in the studio with SRC President Hlengiwe Guguletulisa Dube. And before the break, we touched a little bit on purpose and what your journey was in terms of a young person just trying to figure out what your, like, how you can better other people's lives, how you can, you know, find your purpose, discover your purpose. And that really touched me, because I think a lot of young people these days are really struggling with what we need to do, who we need to be, who we want to be. And we're talking in the first hour, Thomas, about, you know, just getting to university to just study what we need to do and finish the degree and then what. So I'm so in awe of you and your journey and how that started from a young place and you kind of knew an inkling of who you wanted to be. Can we talk a little bit more on that?
Our purpose. When did I discover my purpose? What I could start with is intentionality. You know, you have to really sit with yourself, be intentional about it, and understand who you are as a person. And then I had to understand that, okay, I am of God. My identity is in Christ. And then from there, I was like, okay, then what is my purpose? I know that we need to, you know, do good. I know that we need to give. I know we need to, but what is my purpose? And how does now that materialize practically? You know, because that's also one thing that I think a lot of the times people feel lost or don't understand what they need to do and when they need to do it, is because how does what you love doing or who you love being materialize practically? How does it look like physically? So I had to do that. I had to be very intentional and understand and pray. And okay, I didn't fast, but I prayed, and you know, maybe I fasted a bit, and then, you know, read the Bible, also understanding who I am, what I like, what I don't like, you know, being really intentional about understanding the way, even the way I think sometimes, or why I respond the way I do. And from that, I guess, came understanding what my purpose is, and going to, and then it also came in like a slogan, because when I was head mentor, I made the slogan for Grasha Mission shall, you know, hashtag life touches, you know, and it's like, okay, but what does that mean? And it means that, okay, even your next door neighbor, if they come and knock and they ask for milk, that moment of interaction doesn't just end there. Like, you can actually change the way somebody thinks, you know, and that was because of when I worked as a waitress back in like 2019, I think at the end of matric, our boss, who's still, you know, our family guardian, and we call him Tata, he literally, for Spurt, was hashtag life touches, and I took that, and I was like, cool. Okay, that is, you know, that's how you can also materialize your purpose, because my purpose, going back to what it is it's genuinely just to reflect, pardon me, God's love.
Yeah.
You know, how did Jesus love? Reflecting that, and I pray every day, I'm like, Jesus, I want to reflect your heart, and sometimes that's just too much, you know, sometimes, because the world, sometimes people hate what they don't understand, and sometimes people be like, okay, that's just too much, like, what you mean, I deserve to feel this loved, or what do you mean I deserve to feel what you're giving me, you know, and it's like, no, you really do, you really, really do. So that is my purpose. It's genuinely, in a very general context, just to give love, show love, because you're meant to love, you're meant to wear your heart on your sleeve, obviously guard it with all you have, because everything flows from it, you know. Somebody unfortunately can take advantage of it. People out there are really bad people, the devil exists, you know, but really just giving love, showing love in any way that you can, without thinking that you need to gain something. And that's where sacrifice comes in, but it doesn't feel like a sacrifice at some point. When you really start doing it, you, it doesn't feel like a sacrifice. So that's where purpose came in, and then that's when I also understood that that's what maybe can go through student leadership, because like I said, I only found out about what student leadership is was in my third year, and I was like, I've been doing this, and people were like, yeah, that's called student leadership. And then getting into that, there was like also student activism, because what you do is you're literally advocating for students' human rights on campus. The right to education is a human right, the right to food is a human right, and it's dignity, and you really start understanding these concepts along the way. And then
I guess for me it's so interesting, because I don't know if this has been something that you've had to figure out or had to grapple with in your journey, but a lot of people, and I can even say myself, like, I'm to blame when it comes to this. We have a very Eurocentric idea of what leadership is. So I guess African leaders and leaders within Africa are held to a much level greater scrutiny, because you have to consider a whole bunch more things. Because if you take you compared to an SRC president in maybe a Western country, they're not going to have to go back to like human rights, they're not going to have to go back down to like what are the basics, and can we even provide the basics, and where that's are we good. Missing out with that?
That's good.
Do you think that you've had, like, that's been something that you've also had to struggle with, or, and really have to be, as you say, intentional about it?
Definitely, because I mean, if you also want to grow in a space, you need to also learn about the space, you know, every single day. And it's also hard being a student and you're out just studying law, and Kramer's like, you know what I mean? So definitely it is hard, but it just goes again with being intentional, having to research about these concepts, because there's so many concepts I didn't even know about, which I didn't know a lot about a lot of things. So it's just about learning things, and it's also good having conversations, because we actually have one of an SRC leader from the UK, the University of Hull, that's coming now, and now on Friday, and I'm going to have a conversation with her, like, what does it mean to be a student leader in the UK? You know what I mean? I didn't even know they had student leaders, I won't lie. So to think about like, what does that mean? And it goes back to just have this Eurocentric viewpoint on what leadership is, and what does it now mean to be a leader in South Africa, and speak about these rights, especially because majority of our students are your people of color and your black students and the marginalized and your missing middle. What does missing middle even mean? So it's like researching these concepts and understanding them, and going back to your fees must fall, your roads must fall, all the way to your June 16, you know. So definitely it is hard, but I mean, like I said at the beginning, it's fun, it's exciting, you're learning these things, and I mean, it's nice having these conversations, and then someone's like, oh, you smart, you know,
just not just a pretty face.
Love
that. I love that you've mentioned June 16 and just what it means to be a leader, particularly in the South African context. And I always find it interesting to go back and look at what the different themes are for Youth Day in South Africa. So this year's one is accelerating youth economic emancipation for a sustainable future. Now, your work this year, in the first 3 months of But yeah, I don't think we'd be doing you justice if we didn't, you know, acknowledge the work that you did in terms of helping students managing historical debt, making sure that they get some sort of like education. And, you know, I imagine it was a grueling process to watch these students.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And what that meant for you in terms of working towards a goal like this. And just what did that journey take for you?
No, I think, unfortunately, a lot of the institutions don't understand that these are human lives. Mm-hmm. You know, like you think it was just a student who needed housing, or you think it was just a student who just wanted to, I don't know, get a degree. And it's like, no, you have their lives in your hands. Mm-hmm. And I like how it says, was it youth emancipation?
Mm-hmm.
Like
economic emancipation for sustainable future.
Oh, that's good. That's mm-hmm. really good. Because, I mean, guys, how do you expect somebody to pay for their historical debt if you're not going to allow them to finish that very degree that they're going to use,
yeah,
you know, to get this economic emancipation of all those things?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do you really expect? So it took a lot. It took a lot out of SRC members, it took a lot of out of student leaders, seeing what it like somebody come with their suitcase and say, I need your help.
Yeah.
You know, and not just I need your help because you're an SRC member. Like, they're looking at you like a human being and saying, this is how I am. They are depriving me. That's when I mentioned the right to dignity. It was not just about housing. It was not just about education. They stripped students' dignity away from it. It was the most heartbreaking thing to see.
Mm.
And now you get things that are worse, like your CPUT or your UWC, where they were like sleeping in corridors. Oh. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know, we were like, no, you're not doing that to our students. So we were literally like, we're gonna find you a place, we're gonna find you a room, you know what
yeah.
I mean? And I remember there was one night where we were at Kramer and we're like, no, okay, there's still rooms free at Grote Skier. So we literally walked, it was like 2 a.m. We walked to students, we're gonna get you inside here. And there were so many free rooms. And then they were like, no, you're not getting in. And then we came back and we were like, okay, you know what? Upper campus is cold, upper campus is not really comfortable, so we'll rest at Kramer. And then they made it seem as if we intentionally went to go squat at Kramer, and we're like, oh, are you serious?
Yo.
Like, is that how you're controlling the narrative? Like, do you really think that some members here that already have a warm bed, that they're in residence and they want, you know, they want to go out of their way to go sleep at Kramer? No.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it definitely took a lot, and I don't think a lot of institutions are embodying this theme of the youth, unfortunately. I mean, I don't know why, especially because the largest stakeholders in institutions are your students.
Mm.
So I don't understand why, but it's a beautiful theme. And I strongly believe that that's what the SRC did this year, especially because we also realized that the problem here is the policy itself, you know, because every year, you know, historical debt is being lifted and then it's just being continued to the next year. And then there's this expectation that it will be lifted again. And that's why, you know, there was such a huge accumulation of that debt. And we realized that, okay, no, we need to tackle the policy itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big thing, but people don't see it. And it's like, if you actually sat and you see that the SRC triggered a policy review in this type of institution that has
a
history, that's a huge thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And triggering doesn't just mean that they're going to look at it. Like, be part of reviewing what that policy actually means. So, yeah, that's that part.
I mean, that sent chills down my back because I'll be the first one to say that I am very lucky to come from an extremely privileged background. And I'll always remember when I came for my registration, I was sitting next to someone and I, you know, say, where are you from? And no, I've just arrived, but I don't know where I'm staying tonight. You know, and for me, that was like, wow, like that was my first eye-opening experience into an institution that I'm coming into, which was very unlike the situation I was coming from. And more so that now you're kind of the person that people are looking up to ensure that, you know, they're laying their trust in you. Like, this is, you're my path, you know, my path to getting a degree, my path to a life, you know, a life better than the life that I've been living and wanting to uplift themselves and families. And I think, you know, the way that you've had to carry that with you and also and how you've gone about that is really amazing.
Thank
so I think
absolutely.
From Mta and I, like, this was really, really an interesting interview. And thank you so much for joining us and kind of giving us an insight into your world. I think we really appreciate it.
I am honored. Thank you.
Thank you. So beautiful. Okay.
Cool. That's
shall we do wrong-ins?
All right, so before you go, we want to play a quick game with you, right? And it's called What's Right is Wrong is Right, okay? And game is very simple. You just have to get it wrong. We're going to give you as many questions as you can in 30 seconds. And Tana and I will take it in turns, as many as you can get wrong, okay? And then we just like to see how wrong you can be in comparison to other people. Mta's pretty good at being wrong. So
I am top of the leaderboard.
I don't know a lot of things, so
so you're good. I'm sure you've been knowing a lot, so no pressure. Let's see if you can win against the reigning champion, which is me. I'm very, very proud to say that.
Okay, you ask the questions. Okay. and I'll keep a tally.
Perfect.
Okay, your 30 seconds starts now.
What is the capital city of the country?
Bloemfontein.
What is the main ingredient in a cheese sandwich?
Mayonnaise.
How many wheels does a bicycle typically have?
Five, isn't it five?
Who painted the Mona Lisa?
Me.
How many days are there in a week?
Five.
What is the opposite of day?
Oh, yes. Something.
What is the largest ocean in the world?
Cam's Bay.
Okay.
I was like, wait, what? You're like, what?
It's harder than you think, right?
Aren't you stuttering?
Okay, so you got a score. It's not our winning score. It's not our winning score. Mm-hmm.
It's fortunate.
It's actually, to be honest, the lowest score we've ever on the game.
Wait, that was awesome, but cheese sandwich and day.
So it was five questions. Okay. You got seven questions. Five right. But I think
not too bad, Prezi.
Yeah, not too bad. But I think we give you a bonus question because you're asking those questions slowly.
Was I? Yeah. I'm trying to be so quick. Okay, I'll give you that extra point. Okay.
Six. Okay. You are nine.
Right. So not too bad.
Not too bad.
It usually stops at that like 7-8 mark.
Yes.
Okay. So
when we spoke to Mrs. A, she was seven. So you were six. So you're right there.
You're right there. Okay, cool. Beautiful. Thank you so much, Klingiweth. It's been beautiful. Having you in studio and just chatting to us about leadership and what it means to you and how personal it is for you. Thank you so much. I think you've given us so many little beacons of light.
Yeah, definitely.
May your light continue to shine bright for our youth.
Thank you so
this is much. The 5 Extra Youth Month Edition. We'll be back right after this. Perfect.